Oh, your mercy never fails. all my days. I've been helping you again. From the moment that I wake up,
hey,
till I lay my head, but I will sing,
woo,
of the goodness, uh-huh, of God.
Glory! Hallelujah!
All life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes. Help them, Lord.
Lucy, I'm not.
What a blessing. Step up a little bit there, Serena. Get up there right alongside.
By Jesus.
Right alongside her. Please, sir.
By Jesus.
There you go.
You don't know my Jesus.
Sing it, girl.
Are you past the point of reason? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feet?
Hey, girl.
If you sing that all is sealed, you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Woo!
He makes a way.
Yeah.
Ain't no way.
Hey, Lucy.
Anybody else want to come up and sing with Thomas? Go sing Jesus Loves Me.
Okay.
Oh, well. Sing with them, man.
Toby.
You ready, boys? Here we go.
Snuck in on me. I didn't know she's even here.
James is coming.
And James snuck in on me. I didn't know he was. Went back here and there they were. Popped out. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to have all of you here. I enjoy this singing. And I can't sing a lick, but every now and then I do make an attempt at it. I have tried. I can't deny that. But I thank God for those that can sing, will sing. I enjoy this singing. Amen. We're going to be preaching the other half of Jonah, God's first missionary. Jonah's a hard book to find, but if you get a Schofield Bible, it's page 943. That'll help a bunch. I think it's in Rice Krispie Treats and that chocolate. It's got the best of them. Amen. Jonah, like I said, if you get a Schofield Bible, it's page 944. We read chapters 1 and preached out of chapter 1, chapter 2 last week, and we're just going to finish that up. Again, we thank God for Sister Bonnie. Sent us a card, very timely card. I couldn't need it. One no more needed that one. Words very kind. I told her if half of those words is true, I'd be second in line behind Billy Graham. We get to heaven, amen. But I tell you what, I appreciate him. I needed them words, amen. You get down out every now and then. It's kind of like a ladder. Help get up out of the hole you're in. I appreciate Sister Bonnie, great ministry she does. She sent a card to to Chase, and she asked him if he got it yet. He said, I didn't know nothing about no card, so maybe he'll get his card too. But I appreciate her, the ministry that she does, a very important ministry. Her and Rita both got great ministries. Bonnie's the card ministry, Rita's the children's ministry back there. And I hope they don't never grow weary in that well doing, much needed. But I appreciate that card. My wife, Friday afternoon, got a call from her kidney doctor and told her to head straight to the ER. She called me, and I'm down in Tennessee picking up Flint Rock. Patrick's seen some of it. Some of that Canaanland Flint. That little big piece of Flint that killed this old man. She called me, and I said, honey, I'm like an hour and a half away. I'll get there as quick as I can. I made it in an hour's journey, Brother James. I didn't get pulled over. I should have, but I didn't. I think they was afraid that old truck dragging the ground in the back had too much rock in the thing. But I made it. We went to ER Friday night, and it's not a good time to go to ER Medical Center in Bowling Green. We sat in the waiting room for over 4 hours. And my wife, she said, go tell them we'll come back in the morning. I got up to go tell them that, and they called her name next. And then we went back there in the back. It was probably 12:30, and we got to go back there. And my wife, she was scared dead. Her potassium level was messed up. Keratin, whatever it is about your kidneys, I don't know what you call it, is all messed up. She was having trouble getting her breath with a keratin. Is that what it is?
Creatin.
All right. Y'all can tell how knowledgeable I am of medical terms. I'm glad I don't know them, amen. But for her sake, she's pretty mindful of those words. Her creatin or whatever it is, and potassium's all out of whack. Sarah got to come in and talk with my wife for a little bit when Patrick came out of the house. He's on the way there making a wedding plans down there, arrangements down there to lodge. And well, I appreciate that. She comforted my wife quite a bit. And that was before the ordeal, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Friday. And then we went to the hospital. And the doctor and the nurses, they comforted my wife. I felt like, you know, she's better than she went in there. So I said I'd go home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I got home, got in bed. She called me at 4, come get me, they're releasing me. So about 2 hours sleep, I went and got her. And on the way home, she didn't sleep a wink. I slept all the way home. I was all over the road. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the card. I'm telling you, buddy, we've been through it this week. And then yesterday, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, her mother, sister, and brother-in-law was going to come up, and their truck broke down at Haywood. It actually was a blessing because I went and got them, brought them to the house. Me and my brother-in-law fixed the truck while my wife fellowship with her mother and with her sister. That was actually a bad thing that was a good thing. I'm kind of glad the truck did break down. It wasn't that bad a fix. Caliper locked up on it. Let's get the message here. Jonah chapter number 3. We done read Jonah 1-2. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. Now the first time God told him to do that, he went the other direction. But this time he's had enough of being in the belly of a whale. He's had enough of being tossed to and fro. So Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh, this is just a description of Nineveh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That just means it takes you 3 days to walk through Nineveh. That's how big a city it is. And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw the works that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. I'm going to stop right there. We'll comment on chapter 4. But what Nineveh did is what I'd like to see America do. I really would like that song, Reba McEntire's song there. You know, we just need to turn back to God. We're all guilty. We could all walk closer to God. We could all be a better ambassador for Christ, a better witness. We could all pray more. We could all do a whole lot more. And we should. But this Nineveh situation here just shows you what God can do. So we'll go to God in prayer here. Again, we're preaching the rest of God's first missionary, which was Jonah. Father, we thank You for what we just read. Lord, for what, Lord, You was able to do with a wicked nation like Nineveh, that exceeding great city, 3 days' journey, big city. Lord, one man obedient to God delivered the message of God, and You moved upon it, and Lord, brought great repentance. And the people literally said they believed in God. And Lord, they done more than believe. They turned from their wicked ways, turned to You, like I'd like to see America do. America may not do that, Lord, but they sure do need to. I bless this message today. We give You praise for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jonah's given a second chance here. It says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, you know, that first time in here, Jonah 1, verse number 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness come up before me. And Jonah said, that's what You think, Lord. And he thought he could do otherwise, and he found out God was bigger and greater than he could get around. It wasn't no getting around this. This wasn't optional. This was a mandatory call. I have been called of God. I willingly accepted the call of God. I still remember I've been saved 4 years. It was in 1992. God called me and said, I want you to preach My word. And all I said was, Lord, are You sure? I'm sitting there looking at me like, are You sure? I mean, you know, I don't have really anything to offer God. And you know, that's what God wants. He don't want you to offer Him anything. But my pastor said the greatest ability God's ever looked for is availability. That you be there. You may not be the greatest preacher. You may not be the greatest singer. You may not be the greatest prayer warrior, whatever. But just being there. You know, do what you can, or while you can. You'll find out God will bless. The Bible says, not many mighty, not many noble. You know, God shows the foolish things this world can find the mighty. God will take the least of the least. And like someone like Jonah, probably, you know, like Ichabod Crane, afraid to go, but found out that when he did go, God went with him. Amen. And here, he's given a second opportunity. Thank God. I don't know about y'all, but it's been a few times that God given me a second chance. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I've messed up more than once. I'm glad God didn't send a lightning bolt. I'm glad God gave me grace. I really just sung that song about the goodness of God, and it is. God is good. Amen. Here you mess up, you think this is it.
Amen.
And so God says, you know, I still love you. You say, Lord, I'd like to try that again. And you get up enough nerve to try it again. And you find out this time you don't fail. This time you prevail. Amen. This time you're able to deliver what you thought you could never do. I'm going to thank God for the second chance. Amen. Amen. Oh, would God, America, would get back in touch with God. They may not. They should. I'm telling you, I wish this up on my prayers that God, if America and the world, they have a Nineveh type repentance from the greatest to the least, see their wickedness, their wickedness, to see their great need of the God of heaven, amen. I'm telling you, I'd like to see this world. You know, we ain't had no great revival since the TV came out, Patty. Everybody's got a remote now, or they got a smartphone, one of the two or both of them. My wife, somehow she surfs on the internet with a smartphone, and she got a remote, the other hand sleeps in the middle of it. Amen? But, you know, we haven't really had any great revivals, no great moves of God. Since that one-eyed monster of the TV come out, if that ain't big enough, Brother Jerry, they got them now. We went up there to Sam's, up there, they got as big as this wall.
Yeah.
I don't know, 70, maybe more. I don't know how big you can make one of them. Right, but it kind of takes your eyes off of God and puts them really, I mean, there's nothing wrong with TV. I just think it ought to be in moderation, not excess. You know, a little might be all right. But don't get glued to it. I don't get too attached to it. I don't let it take the place of God. I got up this morning. Later on, my wife was watching something about, seemed like it was Book of Esther or something. So, I believe Haman, he's having a fit about the Jews and what he was going to do to the Jews. I'm just glad to see she had something on worth watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amen. Solomon said, I'll set no wicked thing for my eyes. I'm telling you, it'd be good. But here Nineveh is. They're needing somebody to come. And Jonah's the man God has chose. And he refused. But now he's got a second chance. Amen. It says here, go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And it's important. And preach unto it. The preaching that I bid thee. That'd help a lot of churches if the preacher would preach the preaching God bids them to preach. I thank God for not only counting me faithful and putting the ministry, but also thank Him for all the messages He's given. I've preached thousands and thousands and thousands of messages. There's a guy came to the house on Friday, brought a lawnmower for me. They both got saved up at the other church I pastored up there in Columbia, up there at the Cornerstone Independent Free Will Baptist Church. Here is Brandon, his wife Christy. Got a little boy, a little girl come in there and bought that lawnmower for them. I was glad to see them. They done grew up and I done got old. And we looked at each other for a little while. And thank God. Amen. I'll tell you. Praise God. The preaching. I just deliver the message. I'm just a messenger boy. A lot of preachers got so full of themselves. Ain't no room for nothing else. But God told Jonah, go to that great city and preach unto it. The preaching that I bid thee, amen. So Jonah rose this time, buddy. He went in the right direction, Bonnie. This time he didn't go AWOL. Jonah rose, went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He's in the will of God. Now Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. That means he's one third of the way into Nineveh. It's 3 days to walk all the way through it. He's one day into it. But I done some street preaching. I love street preaching. Amen. You ain't got to have no outline. You just got to let alone, Patty. I mean, you just preach the Word of God. You read a verse, and I mean, you hammer on it. I mean, like trying to break rocks. But you hammer on it. God always honored it. God always blessed. Where Jonah is, he's probably the first street preacher here. And he's a day's journey in Nineveh. And he begins to preach. And he cried. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, that wasn't 40 years. That's 40 days. I've always kind of thought about this message, but Jamie had a tremendous response, but you know, that's pretty short, 40 days. But he cut it down there. I mean, Noah, he had 120 years, and they kind of mocked Noah and made fun of Noah, and he stayed faithful, built his ark, finally got it done, left the door open, there were 7 extra days, nobody got in but those 8 souls, and everybody else died. I mean, that's how he built the ark. They made fun of him while he was building it. But in his case, it's 120 years. Here's 40 days. And then Nineveh shall be overthrown. A little bit of urgency about the message that God gave Jonah.
Right.
And Sister Bonnie, so the people of Nineveh believed God.
Right.
Boy, that urgency.
Yeah.
Hey, that caused them to put some things down. That caused them to say, what did he say?
Right.
He said, we just got 40 days. Right. I mean, that shortness of that judgment. 40 days. Now it's 3 days journey through Nineveh. And he's one day into it. And he said 40 days Nineveh's not going to be no more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of wish, Levi, that somebody, great preacher would get up on TV camera and put his finger in that camera and say 40 days and America's going to be no more unless America turns to God. I'd like to see what would happen.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm talking about somebody who got a little bit of salt in them. Somebody got a little fire in them. I like to see if and you know what they don't say if it ain't true. But Jonah says it here. He's delivering the preaching, the message God gave him to deliver. He's delivering it just as hot as it was given to him. And you know what I can see him right now? You know, he mentioned his words and he says, yet 40 days. and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And these people in Nineveh, boy, got their attention, got it quick. And the people believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on, it called a little bit of urgency here, and put on a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. It went all the way around, amen. I mean, you know, we just seen little Thomas.
Amen.
And little Toby up there singing, and then you got right beside them little Serena and little Lucy up there singing. But I mean, it went all the way down to the little ones, amen? And you know, you see all this, and it says, even to the least of them, they all heard that. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. Now, buddy, I'd like to see Washington step down from their throne, and they will. Where they want to or not, but it'd be better if they did it before God made them do it. But anyway, the king here, without God making him do it, the king, he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. You know, God didn't make these people do this. They just knew they needed to do it. Amen. I'm telling you, there'll be a time, buddy. It'll be man and toy. It'll be done because they ain't got no choice. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king. He gave an order from the king. Here's what his decree was. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? I'm telling you, buddy, they not only received the message, they reacted in the right way. I'd like to see some of that today. Amen. But the cry was given. The results were real. It says, and God saw their works. You know, they was doing what they could. They was doing the right thing. They received this message. God saw that they did. That they turned their evil way and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And that's wonderful. But this next chapter here, Jonah's going to have him a little bit of a pity party here. Jonah's not happy. Verse 1 said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he's very angry. Now, I told you this is God's first missionary. And he didn't go willing. He went because he had to, but the call of God was upon him, and he's not happy. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he's very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? You see, Jonah thought his word was more important than God's word. He let this sink in just a little bit. Was this not my saying when I was in my own country? I told you I didn't want to go. He's having a little pity party here. He said, therefore I fled unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art... Thank God he is a gracious God.
Yeah.
Jonah didn't care about the Ninevites.
Right.
But God did.
Right.
Jonah cared about Jonah. And Jonah here, he said, for thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to... Thank God he is. Slow to anger and of great kindness. And he repented thee of the evil. And therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it's better for me to die than to live. Boy, Jonah, not only having him pity party, not only he did not care about the Ninevites, but he's going to hear some preaching here in just a minute. God's going to preach to this preacher, amen. So Jonah over here, he's fit to be tied. He's mad. And the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry? Remind me what God said to Cain there. Genesis chapter 4. And you know, Cain had him a little pity party there. And Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what become the city. He still wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. He did not care about Nineveh. There's probably a lot of missionaries out there that don't care about the ones that God sends them to. I don't know. I'm just glad to be a little preacher in a little church, in a little community like this right here. But he's sitting there thinking maybe God will still destroy it. And the Lord God. Now God knows what he's doing right here. What he's doing, he's preparing a message for this pity party preacher here. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now he don't know God's preaching him a message right here. But God prepared a worm And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said, now here's God preaching to Jonah. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Jonah don't realize he's being set up right here. Now, God's telling Jonah, you're mad because the gourd died. And then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd. You know, we got them today. Save the lizard, save the tree huggers, everything else. You know, I don't really understand a lot of things. I just know one thing. A human being is a whole lot more important than any fish or any turtle or any type of wildlife. I'm not for killing anything. I don't get one now anymore. I don't even know how to kill a fly. But I do. Had one this morning. I took him right out. I said, since I was talking about it, I took him right out. They call it playing fly swatter. Got that arm back working again. I took him out. Amen. Well, anyway, he got punched and they're overboard. I got a sticker. I took it off my truck. It's kind of sad, called PETA. People that eat things that taste good or something like, heck, I don't know. I got a sticker. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of not good to have it on there. But here Jonah is. He's mad because the gourd died. He could care less about the Ninevites. He's kind of hoping God will still destroy them. And God here, he's preaching to Jonah now. And let me tell you something, buddy. God knows how to get through. God says, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow. And you know, we got this new green deal, save the planet, and we ain't got a thing to do with anything. All we do is make things worse. I remember Ronald Reagan said, the government is the problem. It's not the solution. Amen. But he said, you didn't labor for that gourd. You never done nothing. You know, he said, you didn't have anything to do with that gourd growing up, which came up in a night, perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons, Jonah could care less. He's just worried about Jonah. And that little gourd bought him a little bit of comfort. He'd have him a little pity party. We're not careful. We'll be like Jonah. We'll get sidetracked. We'll dwell upon things that have no significance at all and get all caught up in that and miss the whole reason you're still here. I'm telling you, buddy, God help us. The Bible said there's no vision. People perish. I'm telling you, pray God to give you a burden for someone enough you'll call them and say, would you please come to church with me this Sunday or show up there door and knock on their door and say, buddy, it's pretty good down there at Landmark. You ought to come down and get you some of it, amen. Jonah don't care. Jonah cares more about the gourd than he does the Ninevites. God said, Jonah, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and left hand, and also much cattle. That's 120,000 souls, and Jonah could care less. God help us. I stopped at several houses on this road, knocked on some doors. I talked to like three or four people on the road here. I've not been as adamant as I should. Got a phone call Saturday morning, also from a member up there at the other church where I pastored up in Columbia, Alberta. Cornerstone Independent Federal Baptist Church. He said, boy, I missed going that door knocking. I got to thinking about that phone call. I said, boy, that was good, Brother Anthony. And he said, I would, God, we could do some more of that. And I'm sitting there thinking, I need to do more of that myself. And I do. And somehow we're going to put together some kind of thing. You may not want to, but if you do want to, we'll have a night. We'll designate, you know, something like an hour or something like that. Go this way, go that way. I don't care. But if you want to go, we'll get together, knock on a door or two, give them a track, plead with them a little bit, pray with them a little bit, invite them to church. If only one comes, if it's the right one, there'll be a busload come with them next time they come. We do need to go out in hedges and highways, compel people to come in. The house God may be filled. But Jonah here, he missed the whole reason for him going to Nineveh. If it hadn't been for a gourd, Jonah wouldn't have been happy at all. He's pouting. And you know what? We don't need to be like Jonah. We need to be like God. Jonah here, this is Jonah's complaint. Listen, Joan, here complaining. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. Thank God. At least he knew God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. Boy, that's pretty good attributes. Jonah said, I knew you'd spare Nineveh. But Jonah didn't care about Nineveh. And yet God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And I don't know if the book of Jonah is more about Nineveh or more about Jonah. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot to be seen there in those four chapters right there. God help us to be willing to go if God wants us to go. And proclaim whatever God puts us in our heart to do. If God moves on it, there'll be somebody that'll respond in the right way. There'll be somebody escape the damnation of hell. There'll be somebody that'll be rescued. I'm telling you, we just need to remember there are people out there like the Ninevites that don't know their left hand from their right hand, and the grace of God of heaven wants us to, while we're here, to do His bidding. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank You for the thought. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God, the hour we're living in, Lord. I know there's not a lot of preaching like this today going on much. And we thank God, Lord, just to be here in this little church, doing, Lord, what we can, what little time we got to do it in. Bless always the efforts of this little church. Bless these people, Lord. I don't know how they put up with me, but I'm so glad to do. What a great opportunity, Lord, we all have, Lord, to get the Word of God out. Lord, to somehow, Lord, point someone like a compass in the right direction. Lord, that they might, oh Lord, make it to Calvary. Lay hold on eternal life. Get the sin done, the blood, name in the book, and residence up on Mansion Avenue. And we thank You and praise You. And ask all these things, Your blessing will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess everybody stand. Get up, Brother Gary, Sister Sharon. First invitation on him. Man, I need to do a thing. Always we give His invitation, because if you do need to do something, we'll give you an opportunity to do it. It's a good solid church, good fundamental church. That's what they need everywhere, a good fundamental Bible-believing church. I'll tell you, I'm not worried too much about this bunch here, but there's a lot of people out there listening in. 24 countries listening in to what y'all hear every Sunday. We probably take it for granted, but they need it. That's why we're here. Get that word out. Amen. Thank God.